2 weeks ago, we started a series we're calling Prayer Is. Prayer Is. And we're taking this first part of the year to focus on prayer because prayer is first, right? We handed these out. Prayer is first. Prayer is the most important thing that we do. And so we talked about prayer is worship. And today we're going to continue in that series. I found a clip from the War Room or War Room movie, if you've seen that, a little bit to give us a setup on today's message about prayer. Watch this.
I appreciate you coming this morning. Coffee will be ready in a couple of minutes.
Oh, sounds good. Now, I ran a sales report from the area, wrote down a suggested asking price for the house.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you think?
Now, what did you say your husband did for a living?
Well, we actually haven't talked about that, but he's a sales rep for Brightwell Pharmaceuticals.
Mm-hmm. And where did you say you attended church?
Well, we occasionally attend Riverdale Community.
Mm-hmm. So you would say you know the Lord?
Yes, I would say I know the Lord. You think the Lord is okay with this asking price?
And you have children?
Miss Clara, my husband Tony and I have been married for 16 years. We have one daughter, her name is Danielle, and she's 10. She enjoys pop music and ice cream and jumping rope.
Oh, well, that's good to know. Mm-hmm. Now, you say you attend church occasionally. Is that because your pastor only preaches occasionally?
Miss Clara.
That's good preaching
right
there.
I really would like to help you sell your house. That's why I'm here. As far as my faith is concerned, I believe in God, just like most people. He's very important to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me get our coffee.
So if I asked you what your prayer life was like, would you say that it was hot or cold?
I don't know that I would say it's hot. I mean, we're like most people. We have full schedules. We work. But I would consider myself a spiritual person. I'm not hot, but I'm not cold either. Just, you know, somewhere in the middle.
Here you go. I've got cream or sugar if you need it.
Oh, no, thank you. I like it black. Miss Clara, you like your coffee room temperature?
No, baby, mine's hot. Elizabeth. People drink their coffee, hot or cold, but nobody likes it lukewarm, not even the Lord.
Point taken, Miss Clara. But why do you feel the need to examine my personal life?
Because I've been where you are, and you don't have to step on the same landmines that I did. That's a waste of time, and this asking price is just fine. Let me get you a hot cup of coffee. I was a little sneaky last time.
My apologies for showing a clip about coffee during a fast, but, you know, 7 more days, baby. My goal is for you is that your spiritual life would be hot. Specifically, your prayer life would be hot, not lukewarm, not cold. Because I know if your prayer life is hot, if it's strong, and if it's growing, it will have a dramatic effect on every other area of your life. It'll affect your attitude. It'll affect your relationships. It'll affect your emotional and physical health. It'll affect every part of your life. I know, and as your pastor, that's why I'm challenging everybody to do the one-year Bible reading and then building your time of prayer, because I know that if you'll do those things, then you'll be growing in your relationship with God, and you'll begin to live the abundant life that Jesus Christ promises for those who follow him. Come on, somebody. Have you ever heard the phrase, if you give a man a fish, you've fed him for a day, but if you teach a man to fish, you've fed him for a lifetime. I think it's the same principle with prayer. I could pray for you and bless you temporarily, or I could teach you to pray, and let's just be honest, provoke you to pray, and you'll be blessed for eternity. Your life will be changed for eternity. And so I hope you see the vision for why we are doing this, why it's important to have a place a time and a strategy, a plan for prayer every day. If we will build that habit into our lives, and part of the reason we're doing 21 days is because that's how long it takes to build a habit. And so I want to encourage everybody, my vision for you, if you'll just do one thing this year, and I'm going to ask you probably 100 things by the time the year's over, but just do one thing, is pray. If you'll pray, everything will change. Let me go ahead and say that. If you'll pray, everything will change. Prayer is that important. I've been reading a book by Pastor Tim Keller. I pulled a quote out that I think is very important for us to hear. Prayer is awe, intimacy, struggle, yet the way to reality. There is nothing more important or harder or richer or more life-altering. There is absolutely nothing so great as prayer. Would you agree with that? So let's jump back into the message series here today. We talked about prayers first and prayers worship. Today, I want to continue that theme by showing you that prayer is natural. Prayer is natural. It is a natural thing to do. That's why most everybody does it. Did you know that prayer is one of the things that is most common throughout the world? It's one of the most common things that people do. Buddhists use prayer wheels. Hindus pray for peace in the name of their many gods. All kinds of religions, all kinds of prayer. Prayer is a global phenomenon, and it's part of every single culture on the earth. Matter of fact, studies have shown that even in secularized countries, people that don't recognize any religion, prayer is still practiced. Matter of fact, one 2004 study found, watch this, 30% of atheists pray sometimes. That's kind of an oxymoron, isn't it? Atheists who pray? Call the atheist prayer hotline. And 17% of atheists pray consistently. Amazing. So, but, well, that doesn't make sense. Sure it does, because prayer is natural. It's a very natural thing for us to do. As a matter of fact, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, the scripture says, God created mankind in his own image. God created us like him. And since God is a God of fellowship and communication, we are designed to pray. John Calvin wrote it this way. He came up with a term that called divinitatis, pronounce that one, sensum. There is within the human mind, and indeed by natural instinct, an awareness of divinity, and therefore the seed of religion is planted in all. He's saying that we are created by God, for God. The image of God in us, that's why it's so natural for us to pray to God, because we are designed that way. In Genesis chapter 2, the scripture puts it this way, the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground. We're all made of dirt, right? I'll just keep going. The Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils, say it with me, the breath of life, and the man became a living being. The Bible says that God breathed into dirt and made us, and we became alive. So one person said this way, that prayer is God's breath in us returning to its creator. Wow. So it's almost as if prayer is breathing for your soul. Prayer is how your soul breathes. God breathed into us the very life of God, and we return that breath to him through prayer. I think that's good stuff. So many who are skeptical of God or even non-religious find themselves praying even though they don't formally believe in God. Why? Because there's something inside of us, the breath of God, the Spirit of God, that knows that we are not alone, that we're not intended to go this alone. Prayer is a natural human instinct. Would you agree with that? So does that mean, Pastor, that everyone prays? No, not everybody prays. Or does it mean that everyone that prays is praying to the same God we are? No, that's not true either. I'm trying to point out to you, though, that we're all created to pray. We are all designed for prayer, to communicate with God. It is a natural thing to do. Prayer is a natural thing to do. So before you say, oh, it's too hard, I can't do it, remember, you are wired for this. It's a very natural thing for you to do. So prayer is natural. Here's the second part of the message. Prayer is a conversation. Prayer's natural, and prayer's conversation. Matter of fact, prayer is as natural as having a conversation. It's a conversation that takes place between two people. Now, how many know a conversation takes place between two people? If you see someone having a conversation with themselves, that's another issue, right? Prayer is a conversation that takes place between us and God. It takes God and us for prayer to happen. So what that means is a moment of silence is not prayer. Now, it may be appropriate. It may be an appropriate sign of respect at certain times, but that's not praying. Lighting a candle is not prayer. Keeping someone in your general thoughts, and we'll say it, and prayers, is not prayer. Repeating words incoherently is not prayer. Repeating a mantra over and over and over again is not prayer, because prayer is a conversation between you and God. And Jesus teaches this in the Bible, doesn't he? When the disciples came to Jesus and they said, Lord, teach us to pray, here's what he said in Scripture, in Luke chapter 11, when you pray, say. It's a conversation. Conversations require speaking. When God spoke of Moses, he says, he speaks to God as a man speaks to his friend. God wants us to have a conversation with him. And it's as natural as having a conversation, right? That's why we call it a relationship with God and not a religion. We're not just doing religious duties over and over and over and over again. Come on, somebody. I'm not asking you to come and just perform your list of duties. No, we want you to have a living, breathing relationship with God. We want you to talk to him, God to talk to you. As a matter of fact, this is the good news part of this part of the message, is the fact that the conversation has already been started. Because how many know, when it comes to a conversation, the hardest part is getting started, especially with somebody you don't know. You know, in small groups, when we meet together for small groups, we'll give our small group leaders icebreakers. These are questions to ask, you know, what would you do if, and that kind of stuff. And then I was doing a little bit of research, and I found, you know, if you're a single adult here and you're looking to be married someday, I found some spiritual conversation starters for you. I'm trying to help you out, all right? Some of you are praying for, anyway, here we go. What did I do? I skipped a bunch of stuff. I'm gonna go right back. So follow me, guys. All right, here we go. Last night I was reading the book of Numbers, and notice I didn't have yours. Come on, you know that's good. I'm no Joseph, but maybe you can help me interpreting the dreams I've been having about you. I just want you to know I'm praying for you. No, I'm praying for you. Is your name Faith? Because you're the substance of things I've hoped for. And I wish I'd have used this on Tracy in my teenage years, you know, or actually, she probably should have shared it with me. You put the stud in Bible study. Come on, somebody. All right, I'll switch gears. We make prayer harder than it should be. We got a video that will explain or illustrate sometimes how we make prayer harder than it should be. It's just a simple conversation. Watch this.
Joel Carpenter is a new Christian, so to help him pray, we've hired that super pastor guy you see on TV.
God, please help my marriage. We're just really struggling right now.
Oh, Heavenly Father, he who has created all things, makes the sun and moon rise at his command. I beseech you, take this woman that you've given to me as a helpmate and bring her to her senses that we might abide together forever in a purpose-driven marriage.
God, I'm really frustrated at work. Help me find a new job.
I ask you now, in this area of employment, thee who gives me the sustenance in an employer fashion, please guide me to something, if it be your will, that would bring you glory.
My kids are driving me crazy. I don't know what to do. You just help me out.
You've blessed me also with many young saplings, and I ask at this day that you would help me and my helpmate to raise them in the way of your word.
Amen, God.
And now I end this time with you, Lord, bowing before you, giving you all that you deserve in sacrifice and in sacrament. Let it be known that the Alpha Omega is pleased. Amen.
God go. Real people, real prayers.
Prayer is natural. It's as natural as having a conversation with God. And you don't have to perform. You don't have to put on a lot of religious verbiage. You just need to talk to God. Prayer is a conversation with God. And here's the good news. God already started the conversation. If prayer is a conversation between two people, who starts the conversation? God already did in his word. God started the conversation with us in his word because God's word is God's voice. When I am reading God's word, I am hearing the voice of God. What does the scripture say about itself? Every word is God-breathed. This is the life of God. This is the breath of God. This is the voice of God. And so that's why we need to bring the Bible into our prayer life. We need to bring the scripture into our conversation with God because God's the one that starts the conversation in the Bible. As a matter of fact, I like to encourage people to read the Bible out loud when you're reading it because there's just something different about giving voice to God's word. Now, this year, as we've been doing the one-year Bible as a church, and if you haven't started yet, I would highly encourage everybody to join in and make God's word a priority. I've been using my phone a lot, the YouVersion app, and a lot of times I'll hit play because it will read to me, and then I'll read it along with me. So to me, the voice of God sounds a little bit like this.
I tell you the truth, you can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart.
All right, now the God's word, God's voice may sound differently to you, whoever's reading it to you. My point is that we start prayer with God's word, and our prayer, listen, should be in response to God's word. Again, back to Tim Keller, the book he wrote, he pulled out a quote here. Without immersion in God's words, our prayers may not be merely limited and shallow, but also untethered from reality. We may be responding not to the real God, but to what we wish God and life to be like. Indeed, if left to themselves, our hearts will tend to create a God who doesn't exist. People from Western cultures want a God who is loving and forgiving, but not holy and transcendent. I want you to think about that. We have a lot of people in our Western culture who are very spiritual. And they pray. I go to church, I pray, but their lives don't line up with God's word. What's going on? It's because their prayer has nothing to do with God's word. It's about, and their prayer becomes about them. And their thoughts and their attitudes and what they want. Studies are showing that many young adults in America are hungry for spiritual lives, but their relationship with God is devoid of any repentance and forgiveness. This is why many Christians believe they can have a relationship with God, they can pray, they can go to church, and then do whatever they want, live however they want, have sex with whomever they want, talk any way that they want. Left to ourselves, we will pray to some God who speaks what we like hearing or to the part of God we manage to understand. But what is critical is that we speak to the God who speaks to us and speak to everything he has revealed to us in his word. What is essential in prayer is not that we learn to express ourselves, but that we learn to answer God. I just changed your prayer life. Are you getting this? Instead of just sitting down and whatever comes to mind, no, let God start the conversation and our prayer be in response to him. One of the things that we do on Tuesday mornings, we pray every Tuesday throughout the year at 6:30 in Connection Central. I'd love to have you join us. But one of the things that we use in prayer is scripture models for prayer. We'll read a portion of scripture and then we'll pray it back to God. You see, Pastor, what are you talking about? I'm going to make it simple for you. God's word reveals God's character. And so when I read the word of God, I see who God is and I worship him or I praise him for that. And God's word reveals God's will, so whatever he says in his word, I pray about that. Okay? So you bring the Bible into your prayer room, and your prayer life begins to take on a whole different level because now you're having a conversation with God, and God is speaking to you. Does that make sense to everybody? Let me give you an example, the Lord's Prayer. Jesus taught his disciples to pray. And he said, "Our Father who art in heaven." We all know the words to that. Can I tell you that I don't think that Jesus was giving us that as a mantra of prayer to repeat 1,000 times. He was giving us a pattern for prayer. He was giving us a way to understand how to pray. Let's go through it line by line. He says, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name." What does that mean? When we pray, we start with worship. You know, we honor the name of God. We worship the name of God. God, your name is holy. God, your name is righteous. Your name is Jehovah Jireh. Your name is Jehovah Rapha. Are you getting this? And he says, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." What would happen to our prayer life before we went into our list, we said, "God, what's your will? Lord, what's your will for my life? What's on your heart today? What's on my heart today? Souls, your neighbors, the way you've been treating, I won't speak for God. I'll just keep going, okay? Are you getting this? God, what's your will? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." So God, Jesus says, you should ask God. You should bring your prayer list, bring it to Jesus, but that shouldn't be the summation of your whole prayer life. God, I want, I want, I want, I want. Do you see that? It's part of our prayer, but it's not everything about prayer. And then he says, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." What Jesus is saying that every day when we pray, forgiveness should be part of our prayer. Jesus is saying you should forgive people every day. You say, "Pastor, why should we forgive people every day?" Well, I heard Pastor David Yonggi Cho share this years ago when he was teaching on the Lord's Prayer. He goes, "Every day I pray to forgive people every day because I hate people every day." Can I get a witness in the house of God? Every day. Got to forgive. And he says, "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, so worship again." Does that make sense? Prayer's a conversation that God has already started in his word, and so we want to respond to him. Now, we put together a bunch of prayer models for scripture. On your way out at the bookstore kiosk, you can pick up, I think I've given you 20 or 25 there that you can purchase for $5, and it's just a bunch of scriptures and how to respond back in prayer. That will help you grow in prayer, and it'll help you pray effectively in the right way. If you believe that, say amen. All right, I'm getting to the last part of the message, and then we're going to... Good, you're smart. Prayer is natural. Prayer is a conversation. I love this part. Prayer is prophecy. Prayer is prophecy. This is powerful. I want you to listen close. The best predictor of your future is your prayer life. Let me say that again. The best predictor of your future is your prayer life, because the content of your prayers determines your destiny. Show me your prayer life, your prayer list, and I'll show you your future. Because prayer has the power to change our future. In the Old Testament, King Hezekiah finds out that he's sick. We're looking at 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1. "In those days, Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death. The prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz, went to him and said, 'This is what the Lord says. Put your house in order because you are going to die.'" Now, how many know when God says you're going to die, it's ova for nova. You're going to die. Put your house in order because you're going to die. You will not recover. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall, and what did he do? He didn't like his circumstances very much, did he? He didn't like what God said, so he prayed to the Lord. Remember, Lord, how I've walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion and have done what is good in your eyes. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Before Isaiah had left the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him. Isaiah is the one that brought him the message from God. Go back and tell Hezekiah, the ruler of my people, this is what the Lord, the God of your father David, says. I have heard your prayer and seen your tears. I will heal you. On the third day from now, you will go up to the temple of the Lord. I will add 15 years to your life. Hezekiah was a dead man. He prayed. God said, I'll change your future and I'll give 15 years to your life. Prayer changed Hezekiah's future. Prayer is prophecy, because prayer has the power to change your future. I don't like how my family's going, Pastor. Change it through prayer. I don't like what I see is going on with my kids, with my grandkids. I don't like what I see going on. Can I tell you? Change it. Don't accept it. Change it through the power of prayer. Prayer is the difference between letting things happen and making things happen. God has given to you and me a very powerful weapon called prayer. And if we will pray, God will change the future on our behalf. Does anybody believe that here today? That's God's word. Jesus said, Mark 11:24, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you've received it and it will be yours. Prayer is prophecy. I learned this pretty powerfully in Africa this last year on my missions trip there. We were in the city of Cairo, and Cairo is home to 10% of the world's Muslim population. And so we're with the missionary there, and he's taking us around, and we're seeing the different projects that we helped out and you guys helped be part of. And so he takes us to a mosque in the heart of Cairo. And I want to paint a picture for you. To get to the mosque, first of all, Cairo's crowded. It's just crazy crowded. And so, and not very many people looking like me, if you know what I'm saying. I was the minority. So we're bustling through people, you know, shoulder to shoulder to get to this, through a crowded market, through crowded streets and all of this, to get to the mosque. So he takes us through the mosque to the roof of the mosque. And then he invites the team of pastors and the business people that were with us to climb the minaret of the mosque that overlooks the entire city of Cairo. And he says, guys, this is where the call to prayer, the Muslim call to prayer, goes out 5 times a day. He says, so I like to bring people up here and to offset that by praying. Yeah. He says, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to prophesy and we're going to declare God's will over the city of Cairo. We're going to declare God's word over the city of Cairo. He says, I want you to be bold in your declaration. So he began to shout, Jesus Christ is Lord of Cairo. Islam will crumble in the name of Jesus. Yeah, that's what I said. Wow. You see all those people down there? The people we walk through to get here, we have to walk past through to get out. I'm going to tell you, something rose up inside that group, and it became something powerful. So we begin to declare God's word. Instead of accepting things, let's declare things based on God's word and believe that God is bringing it to pass. And if we had time here today, I could tell you how a lot of those prayers are coming to pass in the powerful name of Jesus. We were on the island of Zanzibar on this same trip. We're in the home of the team leader for the Live Dead team. And so it's, again, it's the pastors, the businessmen, and then their team of missionaries who serve that island, 99% Muslim. And so we're in his living room, you know, the dude's from Texas, he brings his guitar, we're singing, "How great is our God, sing with me." It was awesome, it was great. And then the worship stopped, and he began to play. As he continued to play, he began to proclaim, "Jesus Christ is Lord of Zanzibar. We claim Zanzibar for the Lord Jesus Christ." And I'm like, hey, I notice a pattern here. These people prophesy when they pray. These people believe that prayer has powerful effect on the future. Prayer is prophecy. Come on, somebody. If you are praying, something is happening. If you are praying, something is changing. If you are praying, circumstances are changing. Come on, somebody. I want to challenge you, specifically parents. I think this is an area where you could specifically find some application to become a prophet to your kids. If you've ever read Mark Batterson's book, Praying Circles Around Your Children, I love that when he said, prayer turns ordinary parents into prophets who shape the destinies of their children, grandchildren, and every generation that follows. Instead of just hoping and wishing about your kids and about your family, how about let's pray, let's become prophets to our families, men and women, moms and dads, let's begin to pray and say, God, instead of this, I'm believing this, what your word says about my sons, my daughters, my grandsons, and my granddaughters. Your prayers are prophecies. You can write the future of your family through prayer. You can write the future of your family through prayer. You can accept the way things are, or you can invite God to change it through the power of prayer. Matter of fact, as I was praying about today's service, I was praying that God would give a bunch of people courage to believe what his word says about prayer. Do you believe it? God gives the future to us. Did you hear me? God gives the future to us. And we don't create the future. God's the only creator, so I'm not elevating us to little gods. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying because of Hezekiah, because of Scripture, Old and New Testament, God says through the power of prayer, you can change things. I want to ask every mom and dad, every grandpa and grandpa that believes this, in your message notes, there is a list of prayers for your children. And if you believe that God has given you the power to become a prophet to your family, I want to invite you to join me in praying for our kids by standing right now. If that's you, I believe it, Pastor. I believe God's called me to be a prophet to my family. I believe in the power of prayer. I believe that prayer is prophecy. And I believe that if I will align, listen, God started the conversation in his word. I'm not just praying what I want. I'm praying God's word into my kids. I mean, no, that's a way big difference. God, make my kids rich. God, make them smart. God, no. We take what God's heart is, what God's word is for our kids, and we pray that. And listen, I'm not talking about praying once. I'm talking about praying grooves. Pray, 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 pray and pray again. Consistently, powerfully in prayer, and I believe and know God will answer. Anybody want to pray with me? I'm going to pray for my kids. You pray for your kids. I'm going to pray out loud. Jesus said, when you pray, say. It's a conversation, so you should probably say something. Is that all right? Is that all right? I want to encourage you to lift your voice. And you say, Pastor, I don't have kids, or I'm not old enough to have kids. Well, praise God for that. Why don't you pray about your future while we're praying for you? Is that okay? All right? Lord, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I pray for my boys. I pray for Braden and Elliot, God, that they would love the Lord with all their heart, all their moan, all their mind, all their soul, all their strength. God, I pray they would love their neighbor as themselves. God, let the love of God burn in their hearts and in their spirits. God, I pray that my boys would know you, God, early in life, and they would serve you all the days of their life. I pray they'd have a revelation of who you are, that you are their Savior, you are their hope, you are their King, you are everything that they need, oh God. God, I pray that they would develop a hatred for evil, a hatred for pride and hypocrisy and sin. Help them, God, to hate what you hate. Help them to love what you love, in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that they would be protected from evil in every area of their life. God, set a hedge of protection around my boys. God, protect them from evil. Protect them from darkness. Protect them spiritually. Protect them mentally. Protect them physically, God. Protect them emotionally, I pray, in the name of Jesus. God, I pray they would be caught when they are guilty and receive chastening from the Lord. I pray, oh God, they would receive wisdom and understanding and knowledge and discretion from the Lord. God, give them amazing amounts of wisdom in their lives. God, would you let my boys respect and submit to those in authority? Teachers and coaches and people and pastors, oh God, people in their lives, may they respect those in authority so they'll be blessed all the days of their life. And God, I pray they be surrounded by the right kinds of friends and avoid the wrong kinds of friends. I pray, oh God, you give them discernment to know the difference. I pray they would see the good influences in their life and choose those. And I pray they would see the bad influences in their life and abandon those, God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Let it be according to your will. God, help them to find a godly mate so they can raise godly children who will live for Jesus Christ. I pray, oh God, that you would order their steps for the future and their families, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. God, let my boys walk in sexual and moral purity throughout their lives. I pray you keep their hearts pure, keep their minds pure, keep their spirits pure. God, let them love purity and choose holiness in their hearts and lives. God, I pray they would keep a clear conscience that remains tender before the Lord. God, may they always have a soft heart. May they never grow callous and hard-hearted toward the kingdom of God. But God, I pray, oh God, that they would stay close to you, Lord God, and they would always hear your voice. I pray, God, that they would not be afraid of any evil. God, don't let fear grab hold of their hearts or determine their future. But God, I pray they would walk in the fear of the Lord, that they would see you high and lifted up, that they would see you as the King of heaven, as the God of gods and the King of kings. And God, they would fear you and they would love you and walk with you. God, may they be a blessing to our family. May they be a blessing to this church. May they be a blessing to the cause of Christ in the world, I pray in Jesus' name. May they be filled with the knowledge of God's will and be fruitful in every good work. May they know your will for their lives. May they know what your heart is, what your desires are, what you have designed them to do, what you have called them to do, God, in Jesus' name. And God, I pray that they would overflow with love. They would discern what is best and be blameless until the day of Jesus Christ. God, our final prayer, God, get them to heaven. God, no matter what it takes, may they serve you, O God, faithfully. May we as a family stand before you, Lord, and hear your words. Well done, good and faithful servant, God. Let them endure to the end. God, let them serve you. Let them serve you faithfully, O God, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. In the mighty name of Jesus. And all the prophets of God gave God a shout of praise in the house of God, believing that God's word is true. Thank you, God. If you will, God will. If you will, God will. Now, before I leave this topic of prayers, prophecy, I want to challenge you. A lot of people are asking, what's the future of America? What's the future of our country? Well, there's a lot of people have a lot of different opinions. You know, a sane person's looking ahead and all I'm just going to tell you, all we see is trouble. We see chaos. We see confusion. We see trouble. Now, as the people of God, we could sit back and say, you know what? We're just going to let that happen. Or we could believe God's word and believe that prayer is prophecy. Because I read in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and what? And pray. I will. And turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, the scripture says. I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin. And I love this last part. I will heal their land. Are there any prophets of God that will stand on 2 Chronicles 7:14 and pray a different future for this country? Are there any men of God and women of God, teenagers and children of God, who will stand on the Word of God and prophesy a different future for this country? I'll be honest. The Church of Jesus Christ, it seems, from a long-distance view, it seems like we're not getting this. It seems like we don't recognize the seriousness of our days. That's why I keep provoking you to join us in prayer. Because God's not looking for a handful of pastors to come and pray. He's looking for the Church of Jesus Christ to come and to pray. And let me just issue a challenge to you. It's not a guilt trip, it's not condemnation or anything. But I want God to look down on this place every day this week and see an army of men and women and teenagers and children crying out to God for our country, for our families, for our church, for our city and our community. Prophets of God who will change the future through the power of God. Is there anybody here today that will join me right now in praying for this great nation? Is there anybody who would lift your voice right now and say, God, you said in your word, if my people, come on, you gotta pray. Come on, you gotta pray. When you pray, say. When you pray, say, God, in the name of Jesus, we come to you, O God, and we seek you today. We seek your face. We seek your will. God, you're the only hope for this great nation. God, you're the only salvation for the United States of America. We know what others have said. We know what others believe. God, we know our hope is not in a president. Our hope is not in a government. Our hope is in you. May this nation turn back to you, God, with all its heart, all its soul, all its mind, all its strength. May there be a spirit of repentance that moves from the north, the south, the east, and the west on every church, God, in every business, in every school, we pray in Jesus' name. God, your people, your people are crying out to God for a different future for this country. Hear us, we pray. Hear us, we pray. Hear us, we pray in the mighty name of Jesus. God, if you gave Abraham courage to pray for Sodom and Gomorrah, we take courage today and say, save this great nation. Save us, oh God. Restore us, we pray, in the powerful name of Jesus. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. If we will pray, He will answer. If we will pray, the future will change. Because He's God. And He says, I'm going to give you this prayer. Respond to my word in prayer and watch things happen. Are you getting this yet? My prayer today, leading up today, God, I just want Him to get it. Lord, I just want Him to get it. It's so simple, but it's so powerful. Lord, I just want Him to get it. It's not a religion. It's not about just coming to church. It's about a relationship with Jesus. It's about talking to Him. Come on, somebody. It'll change your life. It'll change everything about your life. It'll change your future. We'll close it out next week. We'll end the fast after our next Sunday service. But I want to take time here today as we bring this service to a conclusion. And it's not a conclusion. It's just the last thing we're going to do. I want to pray for people who need a miracle today. Jesus said that with prayer and fasting, nothing is impossible with God. So here we are 14 days into a time of prayer and fasting. What that means is this is an atmosphere for miracles. This service, this house, right now is a great time to ask God for a miracle. It's a great time to ask God to heal you. It's a great time to ask God to save your family. It's a great time to ask God to do what nobody else can do, only God can do. And so here's what we're going to do. I want to invite you to come and fill this altar if you need a miracle. And we're going to pray with you, and we're going to pray for you here today. And we're going to believe that the God of heaven is going to respond to his word, and is going to do a great work in your heart and in your life. So if you say, Pastor, I need a miracle. My family needs a miracle. I need a miracle in my body. Or I'm praying for a miracle for somebody else. Come on, right now. Come on, come on, come on. Join us here. Join us up here. Join us up here. Join us up here. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. Come on, step out in faith. Step out in faith. Step out in faith in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, come on, press in. Press in, press in, press in, press in. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We bless your name, God. We bless your name, God. Bless your name, bless your name. Everybody that comes forward today, would you look at me for a second? Just look up here. If you came forward, just look at me for a second, because I want to encourage you to switch your focus off of your mountain, your obstacle, your problem. Because a lot of times we spend a lot of time focusing on how big, how horrible or how bad. And I want you to change your focus and just make a decision to change your focus to the God that you're asking. The one who spoke and everything you see came into existence. The one who parted the Red Sea, the one who sent his son. Come on, somebody, focus on him, worship him, believe him. And let's believe God that he is your miracle, amen? Now for everybody else, you can join us in prayer. You can stretch your hands toward these and pray with us if you want to. I'm not gonna have a formal dismissal, so I'm not gonna come back and pray a blessing or anything like that, because we're gonna give these people as much time as they need to pray and seek the Lord. But I would like to ask pastors, elders, small group leaders, if you want to help us pray, we're going to lay hands on everybody here today, and we're going to believe for the power of God to move in hearts and lives. Amen? Are you ready to pray? Are you ready to pray? Amen. Let's pray. Thank you.